The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad after bad tape, bad lie, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatial, where Granny just rolled up a fatty right across the river and through the woods from New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake up should do. But all my friends that come around, flights of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, tons of tatter, my friends splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. Hey, what's getting in? It's Farrell with Mafia tonight on a bench in the biggest way possible. So I was just thinking about Farrelladelphia, right? So can you imagine that? I mean, it's one thing to not allow Philly, fans, the baseball fans, to watch the games, right? They're not going to allow any baseball fans at the Phillies games this summer, the ones during the 60-gamer. No fans. But then, like, by the end of the day, I heard that the Eagles are banning fans for, like, the season. Is that not right, Mafia? They're like banning fans.
Yeah, I think that's what I saw earlier today.
So can you even imagine like no fans? I mean, are they not like some of the like foulest, most repulsive, disgusting, rowdy, drunk, hooligan fans in all of sports in America, the Philadelphia Eagle fans? I mean, they really are. And they're not going to be at the games. There's no throwing snowballs at Santa Claus. There's no booing their mothers. I mean, they are just not going to be at the Eagles games. So much for the home field advantage. We got a lot to do tonight. We got a couple of guests on the bench, so go with us.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, I watched the Pharrell on the Bench, the finals of the basketball tournament tonight. I thought the game was great. As you know, I was talking about it today on Coast to Coast with, I think, Morenci. We talked about it. He had a lot of action on it. I don't. I just remember, bottom line, we brought it up. I knew that it was on. I was glad that it was on. I watched it. I watched a lot of the games throughout the tournament, right? And I said to Morenci today, I'll take Golden Eagles. And I said they were in the final. You know, they've gotten better every year. They were in the final last year and lost, I think, to Columbus Crew, whatever, Carmen's Crew. Whatever it was. And they, this year they made it back to the championship game, and this time they won it. And it was a great game. It was literally at the beginning of the game, it was like 8-0, and they had this huge lead. It got bigger than that. And then all of a sudden, Sideline woke up and started hitting shots, and they got right back in the game. And the rest of the game, literally the second, third, and fourth, was just literally, it was back and forth. It was, there must've been 15 lead changes. They went at it hard, these two teams. Now you got to remember that, at the end of the game, they have the Elam ending. So they both got to 70, and the winning bucket would be 78. So it was 72-70 on a layup by Marquette Golden Eagles. And they, and then this guy for Sideline Cancer, he hit a 30 footer at least from the top of the key. Guy just absolutely jacked the shot from deep, and it went in. And they were up 173-72. And then I think pretty much what happened was, I think Golden Eagles hit a three from the top of the key, just like Sideline did. They went up 75-73. And then Sideline missed a couple shots, and so did Golden Eagles. So next thing you know, Golden Eagles got a couple rebounds and came down. And then Travis Diener hit a corner dagger NBA range three deep in the corner on a baseline pass. Guy drove the lane, drew a double, kicked it all the way over into the corner to Diener. And Diener buried the three for the $1 million. And the Golden Eagles beat him. 78-73. They covered, they won outright money line. They covered the 4.5 by a hook. It was a great game. I mean, it was just absolutely awesome. You got to remember, these guys are all like pros in Europe and overseas and in Asia, China, they play, Korea, they play, Greece. I mean, they literally, Australia, they play everywhere, these guys. And they're all former, you know, D1 players. They're all pros. Like, every one of them's a pro in some capacity, not in the NBA. Some of them played NBA ball. Like, every guy that touched the NBA wasn't there long, except ISO Joe Johnson on Overseas Elite. But he can't get a gig now in the NBA for whatever reason. I think basically because they think he's old and washed. But he still got, you know, I mean, he had a 35 spot in one of those games in the like quarterfinals or whatever it was. All I know is most of the guys play overseas, Spain, etc. And all I know is that they're all very good and capable and like, and they're big and strong and fast and can do it all and could play anywhere. Some of them are like, you know, G League guys, whatever. But all I know is that, I mean, they would light me up. I mean, guys, I'm too old and slow, but I just love watching it. I love, I would love to play in something like that. Obviously, you'd have to have a really, really good team, like loaded with star players that have, you know, played at the highest level, that have played, you know, really high end D1 basketball at the very least. But most of these guys, like, you know, the Orange Bayheim's Army, that's all Syracuse players. The Carmen Screws, all Ohio State players. The Golden Eagles are all, I think 90% played at Marquette. Some of them were on that team, did not play there. They played somewhere else, and they ended up on that team. They like, put the teams together, right? I think each guy got $90,000, so that's not bad. It's not a bad night's work to win the tournament. You know, the winning team gets $1 million. They split it up, and everybody got 90. So that's a nice payday for one, you know, game, one big game. You had to win a bunch of games to get to the final, but it's a one and done. There's no jokes. There's no round robin. There's no, you know, lose twice or any of that. It's one and done. You lose, you're out. So I really enjoyed it, I got to tell you. And the thing that I got out of it was that, you know, if they can play Mafia in Columbus, Ohio, at that arena where the that's where the Blue Jackets play, if they could play there for whatever it was, I think they started like on July 3rd or something, right? So for 10 days, they've been playing inside that arena in Columbus, Nationwide Arena, whatever it is. And I mean, they pulled it off. There wasn't any, I don't think I heard of any COVID related exits or players failing tests. Maybe they had it. I don't know. Maybe it happened. And
they had a bunch of, before the tournament started, they had, I think, three or four teams that they had to pull out, and they used replacement teams after that. But once it seemed to get going, everyone seemed to be in the bubble and no issues.
That's what I mean. Like, I knew about the teams that got sent packing. There were some replacement teams. But once they got going in Columbus and once they started playing, my point is that they didn't have any problems after that, right? So there you go. Bottom line is they pulled it off. They played. It was a great tournament, and nobody ended up, you know, getting it or bringing it in or screwing up the tournament or ruining it. And so that's the whole, you know, genesis of it, is that I think that the NBA, I truly believe that in some capacity or another, that the bubble that they're in, this Wizard of Oz, Wonder World, Water World, whatever you want to call it, bubble in Orlando, this freak bubble that they're living in, is, it's going to work. I actually think they're going to pull it off. I think they're going to keep it tight, keep it secure, and they're going to play basketball there at the end of the month, and they're going to start playing games. They're going to get in all those, you know, whatever you call them, elimination games. And then they're going to have the NBA playoffs, and they're going to do it right there in Orlando, and it's going to work. If the basketball tournament can do it in Columbus, and they, you know, I mean, these guys were high-fiving, they were hugging, they were shaking hands. Thanks, coach. Congratulations. Guys were taking pictures. I don't know if you saw it, like Iso Joe took a picture with the whole sideline cancer team, and Joe was in the middle of it. They were all right next to each other, just completely close to one another and everything else. And my point is that it worked for some reason. You know, the refs were having, like, you know, they'd review plays at the scorer's table, and they'd all be standing around each other like five or six deep looking at highlights, and nothing happened, right? They pulled it off, and guys at the end were consoling the losers. There were guys crying. There was, you know, guys hugging and jumping into each other's arms, and, you know, everybody was freaking out and happy, and they were celebrating, and they were dancing with one another, and, you know, we're number one, and they got all the money, and they were putting on their hats and t-shirts and all the rest. So all I know is that if they can do it, if the basketball tournament can be pulled off in Columbus, then the NBA bubble is going to work. And hopefully they'll get it done and they'll get the whole season in, and we'll be able to sit there and bet on games. That's what I want, is action on NBA games. You know what I mean? I really do. When we come back, we're going to talk to Kevin Turner about the Dak situation in Dallas. He does a Cowboys podcast on The Athletic and a draft show. We'll talk to him.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, for Alan the Bench, Kevin Turner is with the Ben and Skin Show. He also does, that's on 97.1 The Eagle, and he also does this How About Them Cowboys podcast on The Athletic, and a lot of other things too, draft shows for the Cowboys. And he's on the bench tonight, and we wanted to talk about Dak and everything going on in Dallas. How's it going, Kevin?
It's going great, and it's an honor to be on your show, sir. Used to be on The Ticket here in Dallas, one of the great stations, so it's great to be on your show.
My man. So that's awesome. Yeah, we had a lot of fun in Dallas, for sure, and it was great being on there for a long time. And I'm glad to have you on tonight. Let's talk about this deal. It's so unbelievable to me. I said on the TV show today, Coast to Coast, I said that it's amazing to me that they actually, you know, gave all the money to Cooper, gave all the money to Zeke. And when it comes to their franchise quarterback, and no one can even deny that that guy is a franchise quarterback, and they've even admitted that he's the franchise quarterback, that they can't come to terms on a long-term deal. Obviously, they don't even care about it because they've tagged him and he signed it, whatever, and he's going to make 31 plus mil, and they're just going to deal with it when they want. Is that about the gist of it?
Yeah, no, I think that's what it is. Now, and I want to be very forthright with you. I don't think anyone in the world would be surprised if out of nowhere, Jerry and Steven Jones pop out of the shadows after months of silence. I don't think it would be surprising if they jumped out and got something done, but I'm not expecting it just because there's been really no whispers anywhere. And I think this all started, you know, a little over a year ago when they did not get a deal done before the 2019 season, when Dak had already proved that through 3 years, he had taken to your team to the playoffs twice, and he had proven that he was, in my opinion, a top 10 to 12 quarterback in the league. And you can go have those debates at the bar with your friends once the bars open up. You can do that. But he had proven that he's good enough to pay, right? He's good enough to keep around. And I think they lowballed him. And I think Dak and his agency, CAA, who's known for really, you know, soaking up as much as they can in contract negotiations, I think they said, you know what, then we're going to aim high. If you're going to offer us $28 million a year, then we're going to go $40 million a year. And I know that's $5 more million than what Russell Wilson makes. I get it. But whatever. You lowballed us, so we're going to highball you. And I think that's where they got in this thing, and they just can't meet in the middle. And here we are. And quite honestly, I got to be honest with you, Scott, you look at the franchise tag. You look at what the next 2 years would bring Dak in guaranteed money, and how it would screw over the Cowboys cap. If I'm Dak, I'm just going to sit here and play on the play on the franchise tag, and I'll get mine, and then we'll see who wants to party. You know, and if it's the Cowboys in a couple years that want to finally party, that's good. But if it's someone else, that's good too, because you guys didn't appreciate me. So that's how I feel about it. I think the Joneses have messed up. This should have been done before Goff, before Wentz, before Russell Wilson. Should have been done before all of that, because quite frankly, to me, Dak has proven that he's better than Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. And I know Eagle fans will fight you on that one. I think he's proven that he's better than those guys. And the Cowboys just hadn't taken care of their own with it when it comes to Dak. Frustrating.
Well, that just, Kevin, it makes no sense to me, because I said today that Ryan Tannehill got, like, am I crazy? It's somewhere like around 39 million or something like that. I don't know what it is. It's more money than Dak got on his tag. And he got this gigantic deal in Tennessee. And I said that, first of all, I said Dak Prescott's better than him. And without a doubt, and I said, they're going to get fried on that deal. That guy, he did a great job handing the ball off to Derrick Henry in the season and playoffs. He made a couple of big throws. I've always said that a guy can make big throws in the NFL. They're all professional quarterbacks. I mean, these guys are all, you know, at some level, if you make the NFL, you're legit. And when you have to worry about Henry, and you drop back and everyone's piling up on Henry, you can do a play action pass and float one 30 yards over the middle and get a completion or a touchdown. It happens all the time. So what did they do? They went out and gave him $100 million, whatever it is. And all I know is I said Dak Prescott is better than that guy, and they're going to get fried on that deal, because I guarantee you he won't live up to it. But I think Dak Prescott will, and I think this guy goes out and wins games, and he's the best player on the team. Everyone keeps talking about all these other people. You know, they gave all that money to Zeke, and he really hasn't done anything since he got all that money. Really, to be honest with you, I mean, he hasn't been bad, but I don't think he's been spectacular. The most spectacular guy on the team is Dak.
You know, what's pretty wild, Scott, is that when Zeke's numbers went down a tad, and obviously, you know, Zeke had the holdout last year, and the Cowboys finally caved and gave Zeke a deal that, you know, the deal with, when you look at the guaranteed money of it, ends up kind of being team friendly in terms of getting the most out of Zeke in his NFL lifespan. You know, they can get out of that thing in 3 years. But, you know, one thing that you look at Zeke's production, and Zeke still had a good year, don't get me wrong, but why did Zeke's production go down a tad? Because the Cowboys became a throwing team behind Dak Prescott. Because they started winging it a little bit more. Because they started opening up the offense a little bit more. And it's only going to get better. Now, trust me, you know, my parents are big Packers fans. I'm not some Mike McCarthy truther who thinks right. Mike McCarthy is just going to come and change everything. But he's not freaking Jason Garrett. I mean, Jason Garrett is trying to run the ball. He's trying to win the game by one touchdown. Mike McCarthy is going to go try to win games by two and three touchdowns. They're going to open it up. They're going to put the foot on the pedal. They drafted a wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, in the first round to go with Amari Cooper. And Michael Gallup at number two wide receiver is a great player. Like, all the ingredients are there for Dak to have another big year. So, you know, Dak to me doesn't have to prove himself again. To me, Dak was helped in the first couple of years by Jason Garrett and Scott Linehan, and then hurt after he got to know him, you know, and Jason Garrett, his conservativeness will just – it will just suck the life out of a locker room in an offense. sorry, Giants fans. Have fun. Dude, like, hey, you got Saquon, I guess. Like, I mean, you'll have a good time. But Giants fans, after a couple of years, you're going to be going, what the hell is going on?
Right,
it's happening. So, like, to me, Dak was not helped out in the last couple of years from, you know, kind of the conservative nature of Jason Garrett.
Right. I believe it. I want to talk to you more about the Cowboys, but I think it's important that we inject this into the conversation. So I went down there. Right. And I went down for the Errol Spence fight, and I was there. Mafia, do you remember who was he fight? Mikey Garcia. Right. That was it.
And, yes, sir.
So a couple things happened. One, I did the show from Jerry's World, and I was in the stadium. And when I was on late at night, right? So I think at Dallas time, I was on 9 to 1. So we would broadcast till 1 in the morning. And then literally there was no one in the stadium. And so a couple things happened. One, I was scared to go to the bathroom because the stadium was completely empty and dark, except for this one area where we were broadcasting, which was like, I think somewhere behind some giant suites in the stadium. And it was really nice. It was really fancy. It was unbelievable. It was, to me, the most magnificent football stadium I've ever been in. And so I went mafia. I said, you got to follow me to the bathroom because I went in there. It's creepy. There's no one. It's like 100 yards from the broadcast location, and I'm like, I'm not going down there by myself. I got enough problems. It's dark in here. It's creepy. There's no one here. I'm just not digging this. So Mavi follows me. Then when we get done with the show, 1 a.m, we go out and we try to get out of the building, and the building's locked, and there was no one there, and we couldn't get out of the stadium. Next thing you know, one thing leads to another. Some guy lets us out of the stadium. Eventually, some guy let us. I don't even know how we got out. Then we get in the parking lot, and the parking lot's closed. So we couldn't get out of the parking lot. Meanwhile, I have like a Jaguar. I'm driving like this hot sports car I rented. And because I told my guy, I go, bro, I'm not going to Dallas and driving some SUV. I'm going down there like Errol Spence driving a Lambo. I'm driving a Jag. I had this Jag. I mean, this thing had like a 500 horsepower. I was hauling out. I was doing a buck five on the freeway. So when I couldn't get out of the parking lot, I started losing my temper. And I was so mad. We couldn't get out of the parking lot. We were trapped. I was like, we're going to sleep here all night. And then one thing leads to another. The next day, I get home. We get back to the hotel, and Mafia takes me to some barbecue place. Mafia, what was the name of the town where you took me to? Dark Elam? What was it called?
Deep Elam. You went to the Pecan Lodge, didn't you?
That's yes, right. Dude, it was so awesome. I ate like 25 pounds of brisket and barbecue. And then I went to some parade or something. Next thing you know, I was smoking all kinds of dope. I had it all going. I had it all going in Dallas. And I just wanted you to know that I think Dallas is kick-ass city. I just think it's a lot of fun. Like, I had a blast there. I had a blast. Not only that, and because I want to come back and ask you all these questions, because I got a break right now. But I want to tell you, I ate the popcorn at Jerry's World at the fight, and I ate literally four barrels. Ask Mafia, 4 barrels of popcorn buttered with salt, like enough to kill you. And I ate it all in these giant Jerry's World popcorn bowls that are like they look just like the stadium, and they got a lid on them. And I brought them home. I still have them in my house right now. I'm eating giant Jerry World popcorn bowls for the rest of my life. I did it all in Dallas. I barbecued. I drove 100. I got locked in. I was afraid of ghosts. All right, Pharrell and Events, they're in the Pharrella chat room drinking and smoking per usual. What up, kids? Anyway, Kevin Turner is my boy down on the Eagle in Dallas with Ben and Skin. He does a Cowboys podcast on The Athletic. He's a badass. So the last thing, and I know I never shut up, but I want to tell you, because this is my review of Dallas. So I go down to Deep Elam. Is that what the name of it is? And Mafia took me to some bar, and so I used to drink heavily for like 30 years. I mean, like a British sailor, like an Irish guy from Belfast, like a champion, 8-time world champ. But I don't drink anymore ever since I had kids like 15 years ago. And I know it sucks. It's just the worst thing that ever happened to me. Stop drinking. So he took me to some bar. And I drink a lot of espressos and coffee. It's like cocaine to me. And I'm like, mm-hmm. If I'm not going to drink booze, I'm going to get lit somehow. Give me something that's going to light my fire. Like, you know, give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. So I said, give me the biggest ice brew you got. And Mafia's like, yeah, have one of those. And it was like 80 degrees outside. And I drank this thing down in like 3 minutes. And what happened to me, Mafia?
You got all sorts of, you know, you were breaking down the sweats. You had like heart palpitations. You couldn't sit down. You're like walking around. It messed you up good, that cold brew that they had there at the Deep Elam.
I thought I was going to have, Kevin, I thought I was having a heart attack. I'd never had a cold brew before. I've drinking. I've drank 6 espressos at dinner right in front of Mafia's face. I'll drink 3 doubles right in his face. No problem. Don't even flinch. Don't even sweat. But I had this gigantic, like, 32-ounce iced brew at this bar. And I mean to tell you, I got so lit off of this thing. I had giant. I was gushing. I had sweat, just my whole body. I had like a red shirt on. I was soaked like I jumped in Lake Louisville. It was awful.
First of all, don't ever jump in Lake Louisville. That's one of the more dangerous lakes in our nation. But you found your vice. And I'll tell you about this. Next time you come down to Dallas, you got to text me. You got to let me know. And we'll go out and we'll do the whole thing on the town. Because Dallas, you're talking about Deep Ellum. You ever messed around in Fort Worth? Fort Worth,
I mean,
got some good barbecue. They got some good spots as well. We can go get you a cold brew over there in Fort Worth, too.
All right. Listen, I did a party at Lake Louisville. Did you know that? I did a party on the ticket once in Lake Louisville.
Summer Bash. I worked at the ticket then.
Were you there?
Oh, yeah, I was there.
Okay, so this is what I remember. I remember doing this show there, and this is just my impression of it. Maybe I'm wrong. You tell me. But it was so crazy, that party. That party was so crazy. And I went on their air, like, I remember doing, like, a few of the shows, like the afternoon drive show. I did a bunch of the shows, and I talked about all kinds of crazy stuff on there. And then all I know is I never heard from them again for, like, 6 years. I went down there and partied so hard with Mafia. They never had me back. I never talked to anyone at that station ever again. They never said a word to me. I was like, I said to Mavi one day, I go, man, I must have really turned them off at that party at that lake or whatever. I go, do you think they were mad that I skinny dipped with all those chicks? What was it that I wonder why it seemed like I made them mad or something. Am I tripping?
No, I don't know. See, like when I left that station, there was an opportunity to possibly go back, and I got the vibe that they would never have me back. So maybe it's like a once you cross them, you're done type thing. So I don't know, though. Usually they're pretty loosey-goosey, though, out there at Sneaky Pete's. I know what you're talking about, Sneaky Pete's and Summer Bash.
I liked it. Listen, if there was any place that I could have ever gotten some leg and gotten away with it, it would have been in Dallas at that party. I mean to tell you, all I remember was there were just thousands of chicks there. I mean, it was just out of control. I was like, I told Mafia, I'm like, man, there is some leg at this party. I'm going to end up getting a divorce. I'm going to end up like in some hotel somewhere. You may not see me for a few days. And he's like, don't leave my side. He's like, we got a flight to catch. Bro, I've been offered all kinds of things here and it is not good. And then he's like, go inside with me. You need to sober up. You need to get your bearings. So let me, getting back to
I had one of those trips. I didn't need another.
No, I think Dallas is really kick ass. I caused a lot of trouble in Dallas. I have a lot of fun when I go to Dallas. I'll always go back to Dallas. I think Dallas is a great city. So do you think that, we've already talked about, Dak and everything and his deal. Do you think CeeDee Lamb is going to be as much of a badass as they do on that football team? Do you think he's just going to explode and be a badass rock star his whole career? What do you think is going to happen with him?
So I went and looked at all the numbers of rookie wide receivers over the last few years. And when you look at it, Michael Thomas will jump out at you. Odell Beckham had a good rookie year. You kind of look at some of those names. One of the guys who had a really good rookie year, even though he ended up taking crap for it in Oakland, was Amari Cooper. And I think, Amari Cooper is going to be a guy to me that's going to go catch 70 to 80 balls. And I think CeeDee Lamb will be that guy that kind of catches 60 to 70 balls in his rookie year. And that is really, really good for a rookie wide receiver, as you know. So I do think he will immediately become, they've got the Gallup kid is so good. Michael Gallup is a really good player. He's going to get his touches. I think Witten being gone, going to play for the Raiders will help because I think they'll get fewer touches for him. But I think it will allow them to spread the ball and be faster. I think Witten was holding that offense back a little bit, just because his speed wasn't there anymore. And sure, he's a safety valve and all those things. I think with CeeDee Lamb, legitimate number one potential in the future, But I think these first couple of years, I think he's a guy who'll go catch 60, 70, 80 balls for you. I think he will have immediate contribution. And, you know, quite frankly, I do think the Cowboys are the best team in the division. And I know Eagles fans always like to get mad and stuff. And trust me, I'm no Cowboy homer. But I really do think the Cowboys are the best team in that division by quite a bit.
Yeah, I did too. Let me ask you some serious questions about Texas, the state, which I like a lot. No Texas State Fair, am I wrong? And how does that affect the the shootout? And what is the deal? Like, how bad is it, Kevin, in Texas right now with the COVID? Because the stories we're hearing in New York City about it is that basically Florida, Texas, and Arizona are the worst places in America, maybe in the world right now. Is that true?
It's absolutely true. And you can add California to the mix, but it's really bad. Dallas and Houston have been hit really hard. Austin's been hit really hard. These big cities in these states are just getting hit hard. Miami and Florida is one of those big, but Dallas has been hit really hard as well. And it's one of those things where, look, football, both college and NFL, does have the privilege of sitting back and watching. What's interesting, I think, to track here when it comes to football is what happens with baseball. Today is the 14th. So in 10 days, next Friday night, the Texas Rangers will host the Colorado Rockies for the first baseball game at Globe Life Field in Arlington, the new ballpark.
Right.
It's got a retractable roof, but
I've
they're going to have
it.
To play with the roof open because of COVID. It's a beautiful stadium, but that's going to happen. Then they're going to play a three-game series, and then they're going to all get in a plane, and they're going to go. And it's just such a different, compare and contrast situation than what the NBA and NHL is dealing with. And meanwhile, football is watching. I think the Big 12 will go do what every other conference is going to end up doing besides the SEC. I think they're going to say, okay, we'll do only conference games. We can have the Big 12 shootout at the Cotton Bowl like we always do with no fans. I think they'll do that, or maybe they play it as a home and home and flip, maybe they flip a coin and it's either in Texas or Oklahoma, they pick there. But I think we're looking at no fans. Our governor here, though, has, stadiums can be filled to 50%. Now, MLB stepped in and said, no, that can't happen.
Yeah.
But our governor would allow that, at least as of right now. It's bad here, though. And it's, to me, it hasn't been handled great. But, I don't want to step in any waters. It's going to make people mad. I really wish that we would have I thought we had an aggressive opening, I guess, is what I would say. And I think that's why we're seeing big time booms in cases and things like that. So it's hopefully we'll get through it, man.
Yeah, I think that governor should step back on that 50% crowd thing. He's imagining things. Let me ask you this question. So the Globe Life, I saw it, right? And I remember the old ballpark, and I remember, what is it called? Dallas Live or whatever that party is over there, that bar scene by the ballpark. So they built this new great billion-dollar stadium that they're opening up, and everybody's making fun of it. I've been – you know what I'm talking about. There's people abusing it, saying it looks like a warehouse and a Home Depot and all this other stuff, and there's all kinds of people trolling it on social media, and I don't really get it. I mean it's a multi-billion dollar baseball stadium. It's going to be magnificent. Why are people really that worried about the aesthetics of the way it looks on the outside? Like, what do I give a rat's ass how the thing looks outside? I want to know what it's like when I go to a ball game inside.
I got a couple things on this, Scott. One is, if you're like me, then you know some of these players because you've covered them for years. So I know some of the players. Played golf with one of the players a week ago, and he was like, dude, I don't know why everyone's making fun of this stadium. I wish they realized how awesome it is. Like, the inside, they love it, all those things. I think the picture that was posted on social media was a bit of a weird angle that almost made it look like an airport hangar, And they went back and they redid it and did like a drone video to kind of show you what it really looks like. To me, I think it's awesome. Here's the deal. If you like baseball and you want to go support your team, well, in the summer, in June and July and August, I would like to be able to go see a game. And it got to the point here Whereas even if it's if it was a mild day, Scott, and it was 85 degrees, it still felt like it was 105 degrees in that old stadium, which is beautiful and I'll love it forever. But that old stadium just it blocked wind and it trapped heat inside, and it was just a place where you just, quite frankly, you're a bad parent if you take your kid to a game in the summer in Texas, and that shouldn't be the case. So to what they did to build a new stadium, get a retractable roof, get air conditioning, was the thing that needed to be done. And also, I think people have this, Scott, I think some people, they go out on this limb, and I think people have this, like, nostalgia. Stadiums last 25 years. That's what happens. 25 years go by, you build a new one. That's what it's what the world is. Like, everyone's acting like, oh, it's brand new. That thing was built in 1994. The old stadium was built a long time ago. It's not Fenway Park or Lambeau Field. Like, let's not act like all these things are monuments that have to stand forever. Right. You know, but you know how we are.
Hey, listen.
We like our things.
There, it's gonna be great, and I gotta run. But Luka Doncic is my favorite player. I just can't get enough of this guy's personality, his game, his handle, his no looks, his shots, his step backs, his threes. I mean, I think the Mavericks are their future is so bright. It's not even funny. Thanks to the stars. I know they were in Minnesota at the time. I always thank the stars for my Penguins. You know, first Stanley Cup. Kevin, I love you.
Yes,
great
sir.
Stuff tonight. It's great getting to know you. You're a badass. Keep rocking on Ben and Skin and doing your thing with the Cowboys podcast. We'll get you back on the show for sure. We'll get you on Coast to Coast as well. Thanks, man.
Thanks so much. Holler at me anytime and look out for those Mavs. They're going to sneak up on some people. Watch out.
I love that Doncic guy. I like that guy, Kevin. Great job. Kevin Turner with us from Ben and Skin in Dallas on the Eagle. We got a lot coming up with Mafia, and in the second hour, another big guest. All right, for real on the bench, Mafia just told me that we had an election last week. I didn't even know there was an election. What? You said it's a primary or something?
Primary, yeah. Yeah, because they just had it in Alabama tonight, and your boy Tommy Tuberville is the GOP candidate for the Senate seat down there.
And what did I say to you? Why are they having some backward-ass
election? It's an election during this pandemic. I'm like, we just did last week. You're like, oh.
I didn't know. I always vote. I vote always. I voted in every election my entire life. I've never missed a local or national election ever. I take it very seriously. I'm not a very political person. I don't like politics. I don't like politicians. I don't like it's bad enough with sports fans. Like the enemy, you know, all that our team, your team stuff and the venom
right,
between
the
sports fans. Yeah, like everybody's out to get us. The media hates us. The ref hates us. God hates us. All the rest. Politics is way worse than sport. I think sports is bad enough. I can barely take sports. You can't win in sports, and you definitely can't win in politics, picking a side, like Democrat, Republican, and then you get all these other ones, moderates and all this other stuff. I don't get into any of that stuff. I just – it doesn't appeal to me, although I do vote. I know that sounds crazy, but I just feel like it's my civic duty, my obligation in life to vote. So I do vote. In fact, my neighbor – is my neighbor Mike is running for a council seat here where I live. He's trying to change the dynamics. And the reason I'm going to vote for him is because he lives next door to me. And secondly, because he's going to make sure I don't have to go to the dump anymore. They're going to pick up my garbage at my driveway.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.